welcome everybody. Connecticut Interagency Drought Work Group, September 17th. Call the meeting to order at 2:02 p.m. And our first order of business is, I don't know if we need to do any introductions. I don't know. I'm just looking on the guest list we have. I don't see any phone numbers, so everyone looks to be identified.
So, Martin,
and
we do have...
Go ahead.
We do have Phil Trowbridge from DEP, and I believe this is the first drought meeting he's attending. So just so everyone knows who Phil is.
Yeah, yes, that's correct. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, Phil Trowbridge from DEEP. Normally Doug Hoskins is covers or Corinne Fitting, but neither of them are available, so you get me.
Well, welcome, Phil, and thank you.
Yeah.
Terrific. Then we will move on to item 3, which is the approval of minutes from the September 3rd meeting. Can I get a motion? Just identify yourself.
So moved. This is Laurie Matthew, DPH.
Thank you, Laurie. Is there a second?
Second, Steve Anderson.
Thank you, Steve. Any discussion, any corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor can just either signify saying aye or wave your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposition?
Aye.
Is there any opposition?
Okay, hearing none, then the minutes are approved. And moving on to item 4. Update on regional water drought coordinators. I see Bob Kenny's on. Bob, can you give us an update?
Sure, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. I hit it perfectly. I'm actually toggling between two meetings right now that I have to be at, so this was perfect. As of today, with the absence of an update from Region 3, the capital region, we have 109 water coordinators identified. I do expect that there are additions to the Region 3 list, and both Region 4 and 5 continue to drill down on the last communities that they have. Let me see if I can just give you a quick breakdown. So in Region 1, it's 14 out of 14. Region 2 is 30 out of 30. Region 3 has 2 on our list so far. I think it's out of 33 towns. I may be wrong on that. Region 4 is 30. They only have a handful left. And Region 5 is 33 out of 43 towns. So we're getting there. I do expect to get an update from the Capital Region through our Region 3 coordinator soon. It's been kind of a hectic day today. I did ask them for an update, but I have not seen that come through yet. But we'll keep plugging away at this.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate it. Okay. Item number 5 is to discuss current conditions and areas of improvement and degradation and review the summary OPM, which I know Eric sent out with the agenda, and answer any questions on agency updates. So everyone has received the packets of last night showing everything. Eric may want to pop up the stage 2 drought. Thank you. Because that will kind of be our first area. We also have a chart in there for the stage 3. Excuse me. So I don't know if anyone has any additional information that they need to add from what was not sent out for people to review, or anyone have any questions on any of the material that was sent out of the particular agencies or reporting venues.
Martin, this is Phil Trowbridge.
Yes, Phil, go ahead.
Just a question on the difference between the stage 2 and the stage 3 tables for the fire danger indicator. The stage 2 table indicates that it's moderate or above, but on stage 3 it indicates that it's high. Our most recent report was that the fire danger was moderate. So I was just I recognize that I'm somewhat new to this, so I don't know if there was something I'm missing there, or if the stage three should be adjusted down to moderate.
Sure. Eric, you want to?
I do believe that as of the publication of those reports, Phil, maybe this is in conflict with your email, but I do believe that the fire danger was high as of yesterday. It does change on a daily basis, and that's the struggle that we have with that particular indicator. But I do know that yesterday it was high, and I believe it is still high as of today. It is. I did just double check. It is high. But perhaps as of a few days ago, it was moderate, but it has gone to high in recent time.
All right. That makes sense. Thanks for that explanation.
Okay. And Eric, do you want to just also mention, or I guess I could probably mention, one of the items, as we know, is we're midway through the month, so some of our monthly information, you know, at the top of this chart is obviously on a monthly basis, so a lot of that hasn't changed, and you'll see the data record there that's been noted on the sides there. So we won't have that information until our October meeting to be able to make, you know, those adjustments there. Kind of today's meeting, as we discussed at the last meeting 2 weeks ago, we are obviously hoping for that rain event that was supposed to be coming through. And then we are going to reanalyze, you know, where we were with stage one, stage two, and looking at to be where we're at. So which will be, you know, obviously the next piece of our agenda, but want to make sure everyone's got the details they need to be able to make those decisions. So I just want to make sure if anyone has any questions on this chart, or Eric, if you want to put up the stage three chart, we can just take a look at that quickly too. So that way, if anyone does have questions on either of these, that they get answered now before we move on to our recommended course of action.
And I know John Mullaney, I had communicated with him yesterday or this morning. Time flies. But John, you had mentioned, even though we're not updating the groundwater data for groundwater and stream flow until the end of the month, you had run some analyses based on a mid-month median, or a month-to-date median, rather. Which might give us an expectation of what we could expect to run into next month if conditions stay dry. I don't know if you wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, I can share that real quick. Let's do that. And then hang on, let me just get. Let's see. And then I just close. Yeah, so I kind of ran my. I don't really have the ability to do this for the groundwater, and you can pretty much see that on our real-time groundwater site. So the only thing that would be on our groundwater one would be, you know, the 10 real-time wells, which are staying relatively similar. Stream flow, though, what I have is, so this would be basically based on the median for the first, say, 15 days of September. So kind of comparing to the long-term monthly stream flow statistics. So, you know, provided that we don't get any rainfall and that changes these numbers, then a lot of these stream flows obviously will still continue to decline. And noting that we have some areas, particularly the Quinebaug River Valley, some areas up in the Northwest, as well as sort of in the Central Valley of Connecticut area, where we're seeing some stream gauges that if they continue on their current trend, 4 months, four consecutive months below normal. So if you have any questions, I'll stop sharing that. But or if anybody wants me to leave it up for a minute, let me know.
Okay. Lori, I know you have your hand raised for, I don't know if it's a question on this or.
Well, I think it does. Sure. To exactly what John, what John was speaking to, is this interim? If we can only update these every 30 days, you know, we're in the middle of the month right now, so that was good to see from John. But my question also, if you could put the stage two back up, So my question went to, I was thinking about the drought monitor. It looks like it's out of date. I don't know if those are, if, and Steve Harkey's on probably. Is that updated monthly, or isn't that more, because what the latest I've seen, it looks, it's, since it's, what we're sharing here.
It's updated weekly, so Thursday mornings.
So
it was updated today.
It was updated today?
Yes.
Yep.
I showed you the most recent version, Lori.
Gotcha. And New Haven and Fairfield, that's the right information then.
Nothing. It's nothing.
I'm just checking. Okay.
So the one change, Lori, and I'll share this drought monitor. So unfortunately, because I needed to send out the info packet yesterday and the new drought monitor doesn't come out until Thursday mornings, the info on the charts based on the drought monitor from the previous week. But if we look, if I can just share the right screen, if we look at the new map that was released today, we did have some change, some further improvement, and eliminated the last D0 there in the panhandle, and then some degradation in Rhode Island extending in Windham counties with the next level D3 extreme drought that they're now mapping into the eastern part of the state. So that was not picked up on the chart that you're seeing.
Yeah,
but it is current as of this morning.
That's what I thought. I thought there was some D3 that was sort of squeezing in there from Rhode Island. That's quite interesting. So anyway, thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions, other comments?
Hi, this is Helene Holholzer calling in.
Yes, go ahead, Helene.
Hi, I'm sorry. I missed the beginning of the call, and I'm not going to be able to stay on the call, but I wanted to provide a brief update because we have some fires going on, and I just wanted to sort of weigh in a little bit, but I can't stay on the call because I have to be here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so I noticed that the indicator for level 3, I think it says now that, you know, for level 2 it was moderate fire danger and for fire danger, and I don't know how accurate that would be going forward. We're beginning to see, we just started to have another uptick of fires going forward. We had 4 yesterday, and one of those fires is an active fire that we're on right now that is over 50 acres now, Windham. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're seeing all the drought conditions that are going to cause fire will not go out until we have significant rain or snow, basically. So it's very much following the same patterns that we saw in 2016. And so using high fire danger as a indicator going forward, I guess, you know, if something came down to deciding whether or not you're doing a level 3 or not, and for whatever reason it hinged on fire danger, I'm not sure that the reason it's high fire danger today is because the winds are a little elevated. It's not because the other conditions would make it a high. So I think we could have plenty of severe conditions just with moderate at the stage we're in right now with drought, and especially, you know, going into the weekend, we've got a lot of gusty winds coming over the weekend. So I would anticipate us seeing even more fire on the ground and more problematic fire. Even these little tiny fires that we've been responding to, you know, are taking hours and hours with adequate water to get out. And a fire this size, you know, which we're doing a burnout on right now, and it's probably well over 50 acres by now. You know, it's just going to take a very long time for things to go out. So I kind of just wanted to weigh in on that. And then also one other quick thing, Eric had asked me to just mention as a side note, one of the things that We also have going on in the program is that we are have sent out resources in California. We have 11 resources currently in California, and this is the second time we've sent. We've had a total of 24 people out this year, 21 to California and 3 to Colorado. So that's kind of just an update of what we're doing otherwise within the program that kind of relates to this. And that's pretty much all I wanted to add. And if anyone had any questions, and I'd be happy to take them, but I'm sorry I can't stay on the call.
Great. Thank you, Helene. Are there any questions for her? Okay. Again, thanks, Helene.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'll do a last call. If there's any other questions or additional information anyone wants to provide on the stage two and stage three charts that we have here before we move on to the next step.
This is Bruce, and I just wanted to say real quickly that when we look at the Palmer drought and crop moisture in indices, and we see that they are triggered for at the stage two level for Fairfield County, to keep in mind that Fairfield County extends, that a portion of Fairfield County is in the climate zone that runs along the coast into much drier areas, and a portion of Fairfield County extends north into a climate zone that runs into drier areas as well. So that the way we've done our chart here probably currently is overstating the level of dryness in a place like Fairfield County. And so we just have to keep that kind of thing in mind when we're looking at a county by county table like this.
Thank you, Bruce, for that. Appreciate it.
Hey, this is Nicole. I'd just like to provide a quick update on Rhode Island. Today, Rhode Island issued a press release, and Governor Raimondo announced a drought advisory was in effect for the entire state of Rhode Island. And I'll drop the link into the conversation on the Microsoft Teams.
Thank you very much for that, Nicole. Appreciate it. Okay. Anything else on this before we move on to item six? Okay, seeing nothing on that. So in item six is our recommended course of action in accordance with the state drought plan. Looking at, do we maintain or modify any of our current drought stage for each county? And then obviously, if we make any modifications, the actions that need to take place. At our last meeting, as I stated earlier, we all talked about the possibility of moving New London to a stage two. We decided to hold off for the 2 weeks, waiting to see if that rain event was coming that was forecasted. Obviously, it has not. And so we're looking to see, I mean, that's one of our main areas that we had said about moving New London to stage two. And then is there any other considerations that anybody has or they'd like to bring up?
I was wondering, Martin, is Doug on? Could he talk about that forecast? I know he shared some info earlier.
I don't see Doug on the call. I do know that there wasn't any rain forecast.
That's right. But
the chart
right.
that he had sent out, if I recall, the 14-day
yep.
Chart shows, I'll just read his email quickly so people have that. Sorry, hold on, get my computer to work here. It's basically the long-range GFS model continues to show very dry conditions for the next 2 weeks. The map shows a 14-day forecast. And we're only, during the next 2 weeks, Connecticut is forecast to receive only around 1/4 inch of rainfall. So it's kind of the short version of it, if that's helpful for, everybody.
Yeah. This is Nicole. If you want just a little more info on Doug's going on.
Sure,
yeah. Okay. So, yeah, the forecast looks quite dry. Right now, the post-tropical cyclone Sally is bringing rain to, like, the Carolinas and, you know, well to the south of here, and that's expected to slide offshore. So we have a front that's going to be dropping through the area tonight and tomorrow. We might get a few showers with that, but they're not expected to amount to much. And then mainly dry with high pressure over the area into the middle of next week. The one thing that we've been keeping an eye on is Hurricane Teddy. Right now the forecast is for it to stay well offshore, but every once in a while we're seeing a model that shows it getting close to our area. So there's a long shot Monday, Tuesday that maybe we could get some rain from that, but right now our forecast is dry and sunny. We're expecting it to stay pretty far offshore. Yeah, so you can see on there that the 7-day forecast, there's minimal, like Doug had mentioned, not expecting a lot of rain in the next 7 days, and the week two outlook is below normal as well. Again, the only catches, you know, with the active tropics, maybe if we get a pattern shift, we could get something up here, but right now it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But hopefully we can manage to get something. Temperatures primarily below normal over the next week. We're looking at, after today, highs in the mid to upper 60s through next Tuesday, and lows in the low 40s to low 50s after tonight. Tonight will still be pretty warm. Yeah, and then the outlook for the 23rd to the 29th, continued below normal temperatures, below normal precipitation. However, the temperatures are expected to average above normal during that time frame. So we get a bit of a warm up, but we stay dry. And the month to date rainfall, again, Fairfield County's been the winner on the rainfall. Yeah, the map on the left. You can see that Fairfield County's had 1 to even 2.5 inches of rain. Part of New Haven got into it as well. The driest area has been from central Litchfield County, east through Hartford and into Tall and Windham, New London counties. We've had rainfall there has been generally under an inch. And if you look on the image on the right, the orange is all less than, actually, hold on a second, let me pull up the one here. Yeah. Yeah, it was, so the orange is 25 to 50% of normal month to date. And then the yellow is 50 to 75%. So most of the state has had below normal rainfall month to date. And with the forecast, this could be a very poor month from a rainfall standpoint, unfortunately.
Terrific. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. Okay. So going back to looking at our recommended course of action, further discussion, thoughts, actions for us to take, looking at, you know, the stage two drought triggers, everything, and from our meeting last week, you know, I would recommend looking at moving New London County to the stage two and leaving the others there, even though there's some slight improvements. I'm not looking for... Go ahead, Lori.
Martin, a question on that. Maybe we could put the slide back. Great. And Nicole, thank you for all those details. It's awesome to hear all the details of everything you're tracking. So it doesn't look good. You know, the precipitation outlook is not good. Okay, so I apologize for not being here last week. So your thoughts about New London over anyone else? What triggered that versus also including maybe Windham and Hartford?
Those are already out of stage two. Hartford, Litchfield, Tall, and Windham are already at stage two. We've already declared that.
That's right. So New London would be the only consideration.
That we would add to it without changing others, you know, would be a possibility to look at. So we wouldn't change anybody, but we would just add New London County into the stage two at this point. and then obviously review everything at our October 8th meeting when we have the, you know, the monthly totals, everything to look at for our triggers.
Everyone's quiet today.
I know. Lori's deep in thought, thinking.
I'm just thinking about what, you know, given what we've seen in Rhode Island, and it appears to me that we should move New London into stage two, because it appears to me that it's similar to the other counties and which are already in stage two. But also thinking about maybe Middlesex, I don't know. All I know is that we're hearing from some utilities that, you know, even when you're calling for two-day watering, that people aren't paying attention. I'm just going to be honest. So we want people to pay attention, because we could be into an area here that is incredibly dry, and we want people to conserve the water now. And when the state makes a move, you know, to tell people to conserve, you know, I think more people will listen. You know, that this is something that's quite serious, and to hear about the fires, and it's very dry. You know, when we send a message out, people start to pay more attention. So, you know, it's just worrisome. That's all. Not that right. We have to send out the alarm bells, but I'm okay with New London, but I'm not sure if Middlesex is another candidate or not, or should we wait on that? Just my thoughts.
No, thank you. And I think, you know, the other piece of this, as we know through our, you know, the drought plan, is that we kind of, you know, stage two is really our, you know, advisory stage, everything, and, you know, the press, everything we got on it, interviews, everything, you know, continue to remind people to conserve in order so we don't have to, you know, when we get to that next step where things start becoming mandatory. But even a stage two is not a mandatory piece of it. It's more, you know, educational, that we're still trying to get out there for everybody. So, you know, although we can, you know, continue to educate people and say, you know, we're voluntarily asking for water conservation, you know, it doesn't become mandatory until our later stages.
And people generally don't listen to voluntary.
Right. Yes, we know that. But that's, you know, we trying to get it out there. We know some of the utility companies have put out their own regulations, you know, within those that are on their systems, you know, limiting already. So some of that is being done, you know, on those levels. But correct.
But, you know, some of it is, it's tough to capture people's attention with all the news that we have on everything else. And I'm in agreement with New London. I don't, you know, at some point it continues to be dry. The forecast continues in the same way. You know, we have to start considering a stage three and some mandatory calls out there. I will be honest, we're looking at some of the information that we're getting, and some utilities are tracking similar to 2016. So, you know, we're concerned with that, and we're talking to those utilities individually, but it appears that people, their minds are elsewhere. Let's put it that way. No doubt, you know, it's a different time. And just capturing people's attention, I think, is important. And so I don't know if, you know, if we stay, you know, the northern four counties, we add in New London, what's our message? How do we communicate? And how can we help get the message out, maybe even more? I'm not sure, but
Right. No, and those are all, you know, valid points, Lori. I don't disagree with any of them, in all honesty. You know, for, and it is the messaging to try to get out there, you know, that if we do put, you know, New London to the stage two, it's, you know, the press release going out saying that we've added this to the four counties that are already there, constitute stating, you know, the voluntary efforts for water conservations that, you know, things are, you know, without not using these words, but, you know, things aren't getting better, forecasts, everything are not out there. So this is, you know, going to be coming, you know, we're going to be getting to those next stages coming up. And it's just, you know, getting the proper language, you know, into that press release going out to everybody. And, you know, as we talk, whether we do interviews or anything, you know, with the media.
Yeah, I should mention, I just did an interview with Caitlin McGrath right before this call as well on NBC 30 about groundwater and stream flow.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
Can you share that when that gets published?
I will, especially if it comes out okay.
Yeah. Hear you about that. Right? Yeah. Good. So that'd be great. Maybe we should do something weekly. Maybe there should be some sort of weekly blog that we do or something that the news media would pick up on that they could share with one of these, you know, maybe John, you do a weekly discussion about, you know, so that one of these news stations would pick up and broadcast on a weekly basis. It's just hard to get people's attention these days, but.
Yeah. I mean, I was almost going to suggest to her that she get on the call because I mean, it's essentially a public meeting if somebody really wanted to hear what we go through, but I didn't suggest it this time, but it's all, you know, the information on the website makes it appear as if it's a, you know, an open meeting, right?
Yeah, it is an open meeting. Yes.
This is Brenda Bergeron. What you're saying makes me think of two things. One is, if you could suggest to the person at NBC 30 that they might want to start doing a weekly logo, similar to what they do when there's a hurricane warning or something else where you could show the regions, I mean the counties and which ones are in a drought stage, that the graphics tend to capture people. And the second thing I was thinking was, in hearing both Helene and Lori mention the fact that this is similar to 2016, for those subject matter experts who might have not have their eye on it right now, would it make sense to send something out to them to say, hey, this, what we're seeing is what we saw before, and here's what the ramifications are, to get people alert to it based on what their past experiences were?
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, we're, you know, between Norwalk and Aquarian, yeah, we have a map. I don't know, Eric, if you have the map, or the water system map. It's interesting because the Central Core, MDC and Regional Water Authority don't have a drought stage at all. You know, they're fine. They have a lot of supply versus their demand. But in the Aquarian system, you know, the Southwest Tail, you know, and Norwalk in particular, are reporting some issues, as are some others, and I know you have the details there. But yeah, we're seeing some tracking toward looking like what 16, what happened there, and we don't like that, obviously, because we're working hard to have demand reduced.
Well, I think that's the key thing, because we could arguably eliminate Fairfield County from any drought classification right now if we base it on, you know, natural measures. What they have is a massive demand problem, and we have to be cautious about trying to use the implementation of our drought response plan to deal with their demand problem down there.
Yeah, I remember those pipes that were running along the side of the Merritt Parkway.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, this is Maria. We just had a meeting with Aquarian last Friday, and we will have this week too, this Friday, only because Greenwich system still has problem. And Aquarian is thinking about putting this system into drought trigger number 3, that's what they call. So although other systems may be okay in Fairfield County, but Greenwich is not Greenwich system. So there is big demand.
Okay, so looking to see if anyone wants to make a motion to an effect for what we do at this point. You know, we've been discussing about moving New London to stage 2, possibly Middlesex on it. I think, you know, looking at overall as, you know, for stage 3, you know, our October 8th meeting is going to be really a deciding factor for a majority of that, as we have those monthly total numbers in for our triggers, but looking for, you know, direction that the work group wants to take here.
Martin, if I could ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe if everybody who, you know, makes up one of our groups here could maybe speak up. I'd love to hear from everybody about their thoughts about New London, if they agree. I know we could do a motion and vote on it, but I love hearing the discussion from people.
That's fine. Well,
sorry, I just want to jump in. If we are to follow the drought plan as directed, we are supposed to take, really it's supposed to be more of a vote by the members. So we should be collecting, you know, to comply with the drought plan, we should be getting every agency's opinion on the record.
Yeah.
Maybe not an official vote, but at least to be on the record and see what the majority is.
Okay. Well, myself, for, you know, on OPM side, I'm in favor of moving New London to stage 2.
Same for DPH. I would agree. I would agree.
The same for Cura.
Yes. Is this Phil Trowbridge at Deep? I agree as well.
This is Doug at Demis. I would also agree. Brenda, you can feel free to chime in, of course.
Okay, I think we hit everybody.
Same for ag.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Well, sure.
And I would just add to this that, you know, the chart we're looking at for stage 2 here shows both New London and Wyndham as D1, D2 under the drought monitor. There are now pieces of both of those counties that are at D3. And, you know, with, I think, the state of Rhode Island, 80% of it showed up as extreme drought. So I kind of wonder about that area, especially hearing about that 50-acre fire that she was talking about. And, I know 50 acres doesn't seem like a lot of area, but I think Helene's made a good point there, you know, and I just wonder if there's not a little more reason for concern there. And so I just wanted to raise that, but certainly agree with the moving New London to stage 2.
Hey, this is John Mullaney here. The only thing I can add, and I know we're not really voting members here too, I was just looking at our stream gauge for Pendleton Hill Brook, which is down in the New London County, sort of one of our index stations. And that particular site is quite dry. I don't know if I can share that really quick. So here's a quick share of that screen. I actually have a plot here comparing the stream flow to the 2016.
There you go.
Stream flow. So we're at the black line. We're actually below where we were at this point in 2016. So I don't know if that's helpful. But anyway, it's one thing I can show, at least on our index site, we are quite dry there.
John, where is that again?
It's in the North Stonington area. So basically right on the Rhode Island border.
Ah.
Kind of a drain some state forest land. It's right along there. So it's a small basin, but you can see, actually, this is a log scale, so you can kind of see where this is 0.0 something cubic feet per second. It's not very big.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we have, you know, consensus from all of our agencies for moving New London to stage two. OPM will get the press release out, adding that into there, and hopefully and expand upon, you know, the voluntary water conservation measures and try to, you know, step that up a little bit. See if we can beef it up, lack of better terms, if you will, to get some better information out there to the public, you know, for ways that they can help for that. Does anyone else have anything else about moving or modifying the current stages? Okay. So we'll work on that. Item 7, items for the next meeting in the schedule. We are scheduled for October 8th at 2 o'clock for our next meeting. One thing, obviously, on Demis' side, we really need to have those regional water drought coordinators finalized by that date. Because especially if we are moving to stage three, those are the ones that have to have a major role with stage three for us. So we really need to get those finalized. And if there's anything we can do here on the OPM side to help get some of those in, please let me know on that. So that's one big thing that, you know, we just need to have done, because obviously looking at projections, everything else, that seems to be the direction that we may be going on October 8th. And so we want to make sure we've got everything else in place to go at that point. But does anyone have anything else that they think we should be discussing at the next meeting or need to make sure that it's on the agenda?
What does it for stage three, what is in the plan on communication, and how are we to step up communication?
I'll share the drought plan too. And I just on that topic, Lori, I was going to ask about messaging for even just bringing New London into stage two. If we want to change our overall tone of messaging, I know the press release that went out on August 26th asked for a reduction in automatic outdoor watering. Now, the drought plan has guidelines in terms of what we can go out with for requests and communication. We do have flexibility there. And, you know, should we at this point, even before our next meeting with the New London going to stage two, should we change that messaging to perhaps stop all outdoor watering voluntarily, or get a little, you know, bring it up a little bit? I just wanted to get folks' opinion on that if we're going to actually go out with a small press release for New London. And while you guys think about that, I'll share the drought plan and get it onto the right page for stage three actions guidelines.
Yeah, and Eric, this is Martin, I would agree with that, is that we kind of step up, you know, those water conservation efforts that we listed in there, is kind of take them to the next level, at least on a voluntary, because A, they become a little bit more serious, a little bit more, focused for the general public to really see and be like, oh, really, you know, they're like, oh, I don't have automatic watering, I don't have to worry about this or something, you know, this way we kind of step it up. I think is the right way for us to do it.
And I think if, and I know Helene had to leave. Phil, I know you're on. Just hearing about a 50-acre wildfire, you know, that's just eye-opening. I wonder how many people are paying attention to that, the fact that it is dry and they got the winds and, you know, I know we're not California and Oregon, but we have our own little wildfires to worry about, and we have to be careful and mindful. So, Bill, I don't know how you guys publicize that. Maybe that could be part of the press release. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we can add that in, as these are the effects of, you know, drought is, you know, the wildfire, such as the 50-acre one in Windham. You know, we add that in as an example so people see what the impact is, as well as remedies.
Yeah, I mean, that's real, you know, and the 50 acres, that to me, that's a lot. That's a lot of fire.
Yeah.
A lot of fire.
Yeah. Okay. So Eric's pulled up the stage three moderate drought. The state agency piece is on there for what's supposed to happen for the coordination and management. I know there's a public outreach and education section on there, which is for the state agencies about letters to municipal officials urging residents to curtail outdoor watering, news conferences targeting heavy water users, agricultural industry, water diversions, and just methods using social media, internet, municipal officials to do set voluntary outdoor water use reduction for all residents and businesses, and water suppliers voluntary conservation. So that's kind of the public outreach education portion. And then data collection monitoring.
There's a lot of work to be done if we go to stage three.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a long list.
Yeah.
Everybody, so everyone, keep that in mind.
Right, but everyone should be, everyone should review that between now and our October 8th meeting as well. So we really have a handle on this, because obviously we do go to stage three, even for just one county or multiple counties. There's a lot of steps and everything that we've got to go through on here to make sure that everything is carried out completely. Because even as we are now, even in stage two, we're not completing everything that's on the stage two list right now that probably should be being done for those counties.
So, and just a reminder that this drought plan can't predict the unique situation that's brought by every drought. Every drought situation is a unique one, with unique impacts and unique demands. So just a reminder that these lists here in the plan, although they seem overwhelming, are really meant to be more as a guide. They are recommended. They are listed in the plan as recommended mitigation actions. They're guidelines that may or may not be appropriate for the stage of drought, depending on the exact situation and scenario. So I just want to make note of that.
Yep. Thank you, Eric, for that.
So, Martin, I hate to ask this question, but
go ahead.
I will. So you mentioned stage two, and there are things that we're not doing. Can we take a look at that? I hate to even ask. We should make sure that we are doing what we're, at least take a look at this list and make sure that if there's something we all think we should do, let's do it.
Okay. I think, yep. Okay. Thanks, Eric. Just pulled that up there on there. Well, because one, we don't have all of our water coordinators. It's, they're not prepared on that level to even do that, as we're supposed to be, coordinating and managing with them. So we don't even have those. We haven't been in contact with, even the 109 that are out there, at this point, because, they're not all in place yet. And notifying municipal public works departments, fire responders, this would all be stuff of those municipal coordinators, piece to start doing as well on there. Some of it has been done, DPH working with, the water suppliers. There's pieces that have been done, and there's smaller pieces that haven't. A lot of stuff on the municipal local level has not been done because we don't have the coordinators, in place who would be really handling that aspect of it. I mean, that's one of the big major things that I see. I mean, there probably could be a couple of smaller ones, but.
Yeah, I agree. Is it worth, with these 109, as Bob had reported, is it worth starting to communicate with at least the 109?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we should be. Eric, you were going to...
I don't know if either Brenda or Bob Kenny are still on the line, but...
Yeah, Bob.
Okay.
I'm here.
Maybe Bob can comment. I do think... I spoke with Bob prior to our previous meeting on September 3rd, and I do believe that the press release was shared with the municipal water coordinators that we did have at the time. Bob, can you comment on that? Is that accurate?
That's correct. And in the case, I can speak for this region, and I believe it was throughout the state because it came down from headquarters. We transmitted that also to the CEOs and the emergency management directors, who we would copy anyway. If we were to send the message to the water coordinators, we would copy the EMDs and the CEOs. And with regards to the 109, if there is an entity or an individual that's going to be transmitting that information to them directly, say from OPM or somewhere else, I'll be glad to share the list I have now. I've just been holding on to the master spreadsheet until such time as we had completed the task. But I can share that list with anybody who's going to be responsible to send that out to that group, or if that's going to be a discussion point, that's fine. We have the ability to do it, and but I'm not sure if that's the idea is that someone else is going to do that.
That's great, and I think probably the biggest thing that we need to resolve on that front is, you know, in addition to getting that list of coordinators completed, is the not so much figuring out how we're going to communicate information downward to them, but how to receive information back up the tree from them to us. With having so many of them across the state, we talked about this last time, we really need to have an efficient system in place for getting, you know, if things continue to go downhill and we're really starting to see very localized severe impacts, if we're asking for reports to come back, we need to have a way to collect them and review them and disseminate them amongst ourselves. And I know we had started talking about WebAOC as a tool for that, and I'm still not sure if that's the best route to go or if there's something that would be even better. But I think we probably need to make it a priority at this point, given the forecast and where we're headed, to convene on that topic and get that straightened out.
Yeah, Eric, with regards to the WebAOC piece, we could work with Mike Caplet and some of the team there to see if it is the appropriate tool for this type of feedback to come back up. I know there was some concerns there, at least to understand if it was going to be beneficial to have the water coordinators on there at all, and I think that conversation needs to happen, obviously, separate from this with Mike Caplet. And we could definitely set that up and, you know, over the next week and see if we can get that squared away, at least get the conversation started.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, that works for me. I'll loop back with you separately. And I did, you know, when we originally went to stage two back in August for the northern counties, I did create I called it a drought action team. It was a subset of members on this work group that initially I shared the draft press release with and got feedback on, really kind of a smaller, more manageable task force, if you will, even though we're not really calling it that. I called it an action team with a specific focus on carrying out these duties that are listed in the plan. So I will kind of reinvigorate that group with some new energy and hopefully we can continue this conversation and get these actions nailed down.
Great. Thanks. Anything else on this that anyone wants to bring up or discuss?
I would just say on the press release.
Yes.
I want to take advantage of that little sliver that's an extreme drought, and also our neighboring state, Rhode Island, has most of the state in extreme drought, just to kind of piggyback on what Lori was saying about the fire, you know. I mean, those kinds of things maybe will draw people's attention to it, that, you know, at least those parts of our state could be next, right? So I think that would help.
Good point. I will make sure that's added in with the wildfire, you know, Wyndham, and, you know, the other items that we talked about. Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, this is Nicole. Just regarding that D3 on the U.S. drought monitor, the last time any portion of Connecticut was under a D3 was during the drought in 2016, during the fall. a good portion of Connecticut ended up in D3, and that peaked in November, November 29th, 2016. Much in northwest and north central Connecticut were in that D3 category with that drought.
Great. Thank you all for that.
Interesting.
Any other suggestions, comments?
Well, there's one thing in stage two, Martin, where it talks about pulling together water conservation tips. I don't know if the press release, I can't recall if our press release had any links to any page with generic things people could do just in general.
If I remember correctly, there was.
Okay.
Besides us, you know, listing a couple of things, there was a link, I believe, DPH commissioner had put a quote in, and I believe the link was from that. I can call it up. I just got to.
Yeah. I think we've got to take a look at that info, make sure it's the most up-to-date. And
yeah, and we can coordinate with this, you know, the small group Eric mentioned, so we
okay.
can
yep.
you know, coordinate all this to get that press release out.
Because I remember looking at it and thinking, well, probably need a little bit more sharpening up. But yeah, with the smaller team, we could take a close look
yep.
at that.
Yep, I think that'll work well. We'll get something drafted and then get smaller team and then, you know, add those pieces. But I think, yeah, if we can provide something that way, because that way, you know, media can pick up on that and republish that and get that out as well, that will be helpful.
Yep, perfect. Good. Thank you.
And I just shared, just for reference purposes, Nicole had pointed out that Rhode Island made a press release today on its drought advisory, which is the first stage of its four-stage drought plan. And I just shared that press release on the screen here. I'll also put it in the chat window for Teams.
Yeah, just to clarify, so there are tips on water saving measures was a link to Department of Public Health website, was in the press release. So it had the water saving options. So. Okay. With that, then. Last call for any other items. Hearing none, we'll take a motion to adjourn then at 3:00. Anyone who wants to adjourn?
No.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate all your input and
appreciate
in touch with a you know, with the press release and with the smaller group. You know,
with the press release and with the smaller.
Perfect. Enjoy the day, all. Thank you.